morning, if you'll find a place with us in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, the book of Romans, chapter number 1, and preach to you a simple message this morning, but it is the message that God has given me, and so I trust that it'll be a help to us and a blessing to us, and we're going to kind of do things just a smidge different, just a little bit different, and we'll preach for just a little bit this morning. And you pray for me, and I've discovered something. If you pray for me and you help me out, for some reason my preaching seems so much better. And so if you get involved, that'll be a blessing to you and me both, okay? You get involved, and let's both help preach this message, and trust that it'll be a blessing. All right, Romans chapter 1, if you want to stand, do that at this time. Romans chapter number 1. Let's begin our reading in verse number 8 and read down through verse number 17, and we'll find our thought toward the end, verse 14, 15, and 16. Paul says in verse number 8, he said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." And pay attention to these next three verses. Paul said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Father, I love you, and I pray that you would give us an anointing and a touch this morning as we preach your word. Help us to be excited about the scriptures, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Without question, the Epistle to the Romans is one of the greatest presentations of salvation by grace through faith in all of the Word of God. In fact, this letter is not only one of the greatest displays of salvation, I believe that this letter is a masterpiece regarding not only salvation, but God's past and future plans for Israel, the depravity of mankind and the work of God in the churches. This is undoubtedly one of the greatest epistles, if I could say that. They're all great, but one of the greatest epistles in all the Word of God. It was this book that Luther was reading when he realized, verse 17, that the just will live by faith. And that caused him to leave the monastery that he was in and create a reformation. It was this book that was being preached the night that John Wesley got saved. John Wesley had gone to America to win Indians, but he realized he was unsaved himself and went back home to England, heard the gospel, was saved, and created a revival there in England. It was this book that so many have turned to on altars all across America and all across the world, and they have shown people what we call the Romans Road and led countless men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ as Savior. The letter to Rome is an interesting one. It is interesting in that it was wrote by Paul to a church that was established through his ministry, but that he had never been to. When you read the closing chapters of the book of Acts, you discover that Paul, toward the end of his ministry, had a desire to go to Jerusalem and from Jerusalem go to Rome and preach the gospel in Rome. And God allowed Paul to do that. He just did it in a way that he didn't think he was going to do it. He went as a prisoner. But God allowed him to do that. But at this time, Rome was the center of the world. And many people had come to Christ under the ministry of Paul. Maybe towns and suburbs of Rome, Paul had preached and won men and women to Christ. And as those men and women were more won to Christ because of life, because of jobs, because of persecutions, they did what people do. They moved and they left one town and went to another. And many of them left the town they were in and they went to Rome. For example, Aquila and Priscilla, friends of Paul, one under the ministry of Paul, found their way to Rome. And as they went to Rome, they took the gospel with them. And when they took the gospel with them to Rome, a church was established through the ministry of Paul, although Paul had never been. Now, it was these people that went to Rome and carried the gospel with them and started this church that brings about the letter that we call the Epistle to the Romans. In fact, the verses that I just read to you are very specific about this subject. Paul tells them in these verses, I have often desired to come to you, but I've not been allowed. But I have this great desire to come to Rome and preach the gospel there. He is saying, I want to come to you. I want to share Christ with you, with the city, with the Romans. I want to preach the gospel there. In fact, it is that desire of Paul that brings about three statements, one in verse 14, one in verse 15, and another in verse number 16. And they have been called, rightly so, the three I am statements of Paul. Here's what I want to do. I said I'm going to preach just a little different today. I want to show you these three statements from verse 14, 15, and 16. And then when I get through with that, my introduction is going to be kind of long, but my message is really short. So you just hang on, okay? But I want to show you these three statements, and then I want to preach for just a minute on this thought, being ready to share the gospel. Being ready to share the gospel. By way of introduction, let me show you these three statements. Number one, the first statement is in verse 14, and it is the statement, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Look at verse 14 with me. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. The first statement that Paul makes is that he is in debt to this church. Do you see it in verse 14? I am in debt. He is in debt to this church. But notice what he says. He does not just say, I am in debt to the church, but he says, I am in debt to the Greek and the barbarian, the wise and the unwise. When Paul says, I am in debt to the Greek and the barbarian, he is essentially saying this, I am in debt to the entire world. At this time, the Greeks considered everyone that spoke Greek to be a Greek, and everybody that didn't speak Greek was a barbarian. All the world was divided into those two categories. And so you're either a Greek or not. You're a Greek or barbarian. So when Paul says, I am in debt both to the Greek and the barbarian, he is essentially saying, I am in debt to the entire world. The entire world, I hold a debt against that. Now that's an interesting statement. I want you to think about it with me. We can understand why Paul would feel a sense of debt to this church. Paul had helped to establish this church. This church was brought into existence through his ministry. He said in verse number 8, he said, I am thankful for you. They were a good witness to those that they came in contact with, to those that they were around. They were a good witness. And Paul said, I'm thankful for that. So he owes a sense of debt to them because they were good testimonies. They were good stewards. This thankfulness created a sense of debt. We get it. Verse 9 and verse 10, Paul said, I've been praying for you. He's praying that this church would be established, that he could go there, that he could have some sort of fruit among them. So we see the debt here. Verse 11 and 12, he said, I want you to know that although I've never been there, I love you. Verse 11 and 12, when you read these verses, it is clear to see that these verses are the heart of a pastor that loves his church and prays for his church and cares for his church. He loved these people. He prayed for these people. He was thankful for these people. You can see why he said, I owe a debt to you. They were his people. They were his church. But think about this. Paul said more than that. He said, I owe a debt to the entire world. I owe a debt to all that are in Rome. In fact, verse 14 looks beyond the four walls of the church, and he sets his eyes on the world, and he said, I not only owe a debt to this church, he said, but I owe a debt to the entire world. Now, I'm going to say something right here, and you better shake your head and say amen, because I know that what I'm saying is right. Allow me to say this morning that church has to be more than just these four walls. Church has to be more than what goes on in here on Sunday and Wednesday. Church has to be bigger than that. It has to be broader than that. It has to be greater than what takes place right here among this group of believers. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. I am thankful for the church. I am thankful specifically for this church. And I feel in my soul this morning, I feel a great debt to this church. Boy, I was thinking this week about some good things that have happened in this church. I feel a debt to it. Hey, I remember the day that one of my daughters got saved in this church. I feel a debt, amen? Hey, I was thinking about some of your family members and some of your children, some of your relatives that we have gathered around an altar and prayed, and they have got saved. I feel a debt to the church. I was thinking it was a few years ago that I got to baptize one of my grandfathers right up there in that baptistry. Thrilled my soul. I'm glad I got to baptize some of you. I feel a debt to this church, amen? Hey, I was thinking about, there have been many times that I have come in those back doors and felt a heavy burden and a heavy load, and I have found my way to this specific altar and watched as God's people gathered around me and gathered around my family and begin to pray for us and weep over us and love us and care for us. I feel a debt to the church, friend. There have been many times that I've come in and I've felt the joy of the Lord, experienced the goodness of the Lord, been encouraged and energized and excited. I feel a debt to the church, amen? Oh, it was at this church that I witnessed God move in a way that I had never seen Him move. And for 3 weeks we had revival and God breathed among us and breathed on us. I've never experienced anything like it since or before. I feel a debt to the church. Amen. But think about this. There are so many good things and great things that I could say about the church, but there is also a realization inside of my heart that I owe a debt that is greater than this church. I am indebted to this community. I am indebted to this nation. I am indebted to this world. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, I am in debt to the church, but I am in debt to the world with the gospel. We've got a thing, it's kind of a neat thing that's kind of become popular in our world today. We've got a thing that we call paying it forward. You know what I'm talking about when I say pay it forward, right? You'll be in line at McDonald's and you'll pull up to the window and the lady at the window will say, the car in front of you has already taken care of your order. And you think, man, I got two cheeseburgers, it's $2. I'm going to have to pay for the guy behind me. I hope they didn't get a lot because I'm going to pay for it. No, I'm just kidding. But it's paying it forward. Somebody does something good for you, and so you in return do something good for somebody else. That's a good thing. As a human being, that's a good thing. But oh my, how I am indebted to this world and should pay forward the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 said that the wages of sin is death. I owed a great debt as a sinner. That debt that I owed because I was a sinner was a debt of judgment and a debt of death and a debt of hell. That's what I was getting in return for my sin. But 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ went up Calvary's hill and he shed his blood. Then he died for my place and he took my death and he took my hell and he took my sin. And in that place he gave me salvation. and he paid a debt. Oh, the songwriter got it right. I owed a debt I could not pay, and it was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for me. And because the Son of God paid my debt that I owed, I owe a debt to this world. And I've got to get out and tell somebody about someone that can save anybody. Hey, I'm a debtor to this entire world. That's right. Paul said, I am in debt to the world. Amen. Can I say something? And I hope it don't hurt your feelings. But if it hurts your feelings, then your feelings need to get hurt, I guess. Can I say that church isn't about coming together, sitting in a pew, and saying, how can somebody bless me today? That's not what church is. Amen. Church, too selfish about church. Church isn't even about me and you to begin with. It's about Him. Amen. And we come to church on Sunday, we ought to come with this attitude. I'm going to put something in and I'm going to get something out so that when I go into the world on Monday, I can pay a debt to this world for the gospel that was given to me. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Now watch this. Not only does he say, I'm a debtor, verse 14, but verse 15, he makes the second I am statement. He said, I am ready. I am ready. He said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are in Rome also. In verse 14, Paul acknowledges that he owes a debt, both to the church and to the world. Now in verse 15, he tells us that he's ready to pay that debt. I'm afraid, I'm afraid that somewhere between verse 14 and verse 15 is where we lose most Christians. They are saved, and so they realize that they owe a debt to the world. There's a Holy Spirit living inside of them that makes them aware that they owe a debt. But somewhere between I'm a debtor and I am ready, most Christians fall off somewhere right there. In their heart, they know that they owe a debt, but they never do anything about it. Now, there are two different words translated in your New Testament Bible, translated ready. The first one is made by Paul in Acts 21, 13. Paul is about to go to Jerusalem, and there are men and women trying to prevent him from doing that. And they're going to tell him, Paul, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound, you're going to be taken captive, you could possibly die. And Paul says in Acts 21, 13, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul said, I am ready, in Acts chapter 21, verse 13, it meant this. He said, I am prepared. That's what that word ready means. I am prepared. The other time the word ready is used, it's in Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. This time Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The word ready in verse number 15 does not mean prepared this time, but it means eager. It means eager. Let me show you the difference. Paul was prepared to die for the cause of Christ if that is what he had to do. He would die for Christ, but he was not eager to do so. Paul was willing to die, but he wasn't looking forward to die. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, however, Paul was not only prepared to do it, but he was eager to do it. Paul was excited. He was ready. He had a desire. He said, literally, I owe a gospel debt, and I am excited. I am eager. I am thrilled to be able to pay that debt. I've got an excitement in my soul that I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Can I say that sharing the gospel must be more than just a preparedness? It must be a readiness. It must be an excitement, an eagerness inside of us. There should be something inside of you and something inside of me that it just thrills us to be able to do something for Jesus Christ. Most of the time we look at this sharing the gospel thing like that first verse I read to you from Acts, where we're like, if I've got to, then I will, but I'm not excited about it. No, no, no. We should not have an Acts 21:15 readiness. We should have a Romans 1:15 readiness. We should be eager and excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you excited about serving God? You should be. You should be. One of the greatest things you could do with your life is live it for God. Amen. You get excited, you get thrilled about God, and God's going to start thrilling your soul in return. Hey, we ought to be excited about serving the Lord. Psalms 100, verse number 2, said, serve the Lord with gladness. Acts 5:41, the Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. They were thrilled that they got to preach, and they even suffered to do it. Paul said in Acts 26:2, he said to Agrippa, I think myself happy. Why was he happy? Because he was about to present the gospel to King Agrippa. I'm afraid we break down between verse 14 and verse 15 because we've left our joy somewhere along the line. Oh, watch this. We're building now. I am in debt, verse 14. I am ready, verse 15. Verse 16, I am not ashamed. That's the third statement. I am not ashamed. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If we don't break down between 14 and 15, we often lose people between 15 and 16. In verse 16, Paul makes his last I am statement, and he testifies, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was not planning a trip to Rome because he was an ashamed man. An ashamed man doesn't plan a trip somewhere to go share the gospel. An excited, eager man plans that trip. Now, I know what most of y'all are thinking. Somebody right here will think, well, preacher, you don't know how it is with my family, and you don't know how it is with my work, and you don't know how it is with those people I try to share the gospel with. You don't know how they treat me. Well, I may not know how they treat you, but I know how that Paul was when he said he wasn't ashamed. To preach the gospel in Rome meant identifying with a Jew. For Paul to go to Rome and preach the gospel meant identifying with a Jew. Brother Earl, the Romans didn't think much of the Jews at this time. They had conquered the Jews. They were ruling over the Jews. They thought the Jews were second-class citizens. And Paul said, I'm going to go to Rome and I'm going to identify with a Jew. Now, wait a minute. To identify with Jesus Christ meant not only identifying with a Jew, but identifying with a Jewish carpenter. To identify with a Jew was bad. To identify with somebody that did manual labor was worse. The Romans had over 60 million slaves at this time. They did not work. Work was for slaves. And so for him to say, I'm going to be identified with Jesus Christ, was to identify with somebody that they looked down on. And he said, I'm going to be identified with that man. To identify with Jesus Christ meant that he was not only identifying with a Jew, a Jewish carpenter, but he was putting his very life in danger. Amen. Nero would have loved nothing more to cut his head off, and by the time it's over with, that's exactly what he'll do. And Paul said, in spite of the fact that the one I'm identifying with, preaching about, is one that everybody looks down on, in spite of the fact that I'm going to put my life in danger to do it, I am excited and there's not one bit of shame inside of me. I can't wait to preach the gospel. I don't know what you're going through in your family or at your work, but I bet it wasn't as bad as what he was going through. And he said, I'm not one bit ashamed. Oh, yeah. All that said, I want to show you three reasons that Paul was eager and unashamed to preach the gospel. You write them down, I'll give them to you. Number one, he was eager and not ashamed because of the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul was ready to preach the gospel because it was powerful. It was powerful because who it was about. He said, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I promise you that if Paul came to Rome with a message from Caesar, people would sit up and they would pay attention, because a message from Caesar was a powerful message. But he was coming with a message that was more powerful than if it come from Caesar Augustus. This was a message coming from the very God of heaven, the God of this universe. He said, I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm eager to share it, because it is a powerful message. It is the message of Jesus Christ. You and I can and should be ready to share the gospel, because it is a message about Jesus Christ. Amen. It was not only powerful because who is about, but because of what it was able to do. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because he knew it was powerful enough to bring salvation. Paul said, Paul in his ministry, he had seen men and he had seen women and boys and girls come to Christ through the power of the gospel and have their lives changed. He knew that there was enough power in that message to save everybody that believed. And he said, I'm eager, I'm ready, and I'm unashamed, because it's a powerful message. It's able to save people. Amen. Let me say something right here. Let me say that there are many of us that are afraid to share the gospel because we have grown convinced, whether we will verbalize it or not, we have grown convinced that it will not work. I'm not going to share that with them. I've shared it with them before. It's never going to work. I shared it with somebody the other day and they didn't accept it, so I'm not going to share it with anybody else. It's not going to work. And we have grown convinced that the gospel doesn't work. Now, I want you to think about something with me for just a second. The gospel was powerful enough to save you. And if it was powerful enough to save you, then what makes you think it ain't powerful enough to save somebody else? Amen. In fact, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the person that shared the gospel with you hadn't grown convinced in their life that the gospel wouldn't work anymore? Amen. Oh, yes. What if the person that shared Christ with you had been rejected the week before and they said to themselves, I'm not doing that ever again, because nobody ever gets saved. I'm not inviting one more person to church because the last person hurt my feelings. And what if they'd have gave up just before they said, Scott, I'd like for you to come to church with me on Sunday. And that was the Sunday you got saved. Aren't you glad they didn't give up right before they got to you? Oh my, how we can't give up. We can't give up because the gospel is too powerful. What if the next one says yes? What if the next one gets in? What if eternity hangs on the next one? And you've got to just share it one more time and give it one more time. You don't worry about whether it's powerful enough. If it got you in, it'll get them in. You just share it with them. In fact, you say, well, I don't know what to say. It don't really matter what you say. It's not about you to begin with. I don't know if I can say it right. Don't matter if you say it right. I don't know. Maybe I'll stutter and say, it doesn't matter. The power is not in you to begin with. The power is in the gospel message. You just tell them about a man that loved them and died for them. You tell them maybe what he did for you. And you just let the gospel do what the gospel does. Save people. He said, I'm not ashamed because of the power of the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed because of the person of the gospel. The person of the gospel. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Is that not right? Is that not verse 16? It is for everyone that believeth. Paul said, I'm going to share the gospel with everybody because the gospel is for everybody. God said, oh yeah, I've got words written in red. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's everybody, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is for everybody. God saved religious people like Nicodemus and Judas, but he also saved the woman at the well that had been married five times and shacking up with one that wasn't hers. And he saved Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils inside of her. Hey, he saved fishermen, and he saved tax collectors. He saved men, and he saved women. He saved Jews, and he saved Gentiles. He saved the rich, and he saved the poor. He saves the white man, and the black man, and the yellow man, and the red man. Hey, the gospel is a universal gospel. God loves the whole world, and he died for the whole world, and he'll save the whole world if we'll just share Christ with them. I'm going to say something right here. You listen to what I'm about to say. The gospel is for everybody. In fact, if the gospel is limited, it is limited by us. The only person the gospel cannot save is the person you don't share it with. Oh, it's the power. He said, I'm eager and I'm not ashamed. Why, Paul? Because it's powerful. Because it'll save all persons, the person of the gospel. And then last of all, for the sake of alliteration, I said it this way, the presentation of the gospel. Look at verse 17. He said, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now verse 17 is the key to this entire book. In fact, it's the key to this entire section. Basically, what Paul is saying when he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, basically what he's saying is this. He's saying by preaching the gospel, we are revealing the righteousness of God by preaching the gospel. When we tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are revealing God's righteousness by making salvation available to them. And every time, from faith to faith, every time somebody places faith in Christ, God is revealed. In just a moment, Paul is going to put the entire world on trial. He will give evidence that the entire world is guilty before God. Jew and Gentile alike, we are all sinners, and because we're all sinners, we deserve hell. But just about the time the judgment is set, and just about the time that the judge slams the gavel down on humanity and says, guilty, just about the time the gavel hits, God's Son steps in. And God's Son steps before the judge and he says, sir, I have one more piece of evidence to present. And he presents his blood and he said, I will pay the price. I will pay the debt. And just about the time that the world is found guilty, God said, I'll take their place. And he sheds his blood for the entire world. And every time we say to somebody, can I tell you about God? God is revealed. And every time we present the gospel, God is revealed. And I said a minute ago, it's bigger than me and you. And it is bigger than me and you. It's so big, it's about Him. And it shouldn't be about whether it makes us uncomfortable or not. It's about whether it brings Him glory or not. And we've got to reveal, we've got to present Jesus Christ. I thought about something, and I'm done, I think. I thought about, as I was thinking about this message, I thought about the message I preached at the beginning of the year about just win one person to God, just bring one person to God, just bring one person to church. Oh, simple math says if everybody brings one, you've got twice as many. That's simple math, right? And I thought about pushing that in my message. Let's bring somebody, let's share. But here's what I thought. I thought this, and maybe this is too simple, but this is really what I thought. I thought, if by the end of my message, that congregation of believers was excited and unashamed, I wouldn't have to tell them to invite somebody to church. I wouldn't have to tell them to share Christ with somebody. I wouldn't have to tell them about those things. They would just want to. They would just want to. Yesterday we went out in the community and we handed out Bible school flyers. And I sent my wife a message later on in the day. I said, how did it go? I had to work. I said, how did it go? And she was so excited. She said, we made really good contacts today. We made some really good contacts. And all afternoon she's telling me about how they talked to this one and they talked to that one and they invited this one and they invited that one. And so excited that she had got to share the gospel and that we had got to share the gospel with this community. Amen. Shouldn't we be excited like that every day? Amen. So this morning, I'm not going to tell you to share Jesus Christ with anybody, although you should. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you to invite somebody to church. I'm not going to tell you to invite somebody to revival or VBS, although I want you to do those things. I'm just going to ask you two questions. I'm going to ask you this. Are you excited about Jesus Christ? Amen. And are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Because if you are unashamed and you are excited, the gospel's powerful enough and big enough to save anybody. Amen. But if you're excited and you're unashamed, I don't have to tell you to do those things. You're going to do them on your own. So I wonder, as we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, as we prepare for invitation, I've got three questions. I've got to ask this one because we're in service. I've preached on salvation. I've got to ask this. Are you saved? Are you saved? It's tough to get excited about something that you don't have. But if you get saved, God will put a joy and a thrill inside of you. You'll want to share it with somebody else. So are you saved? But here's my two questions to the church. Are you excited? And are you ashamed? If there's anybody that needs to come, we'll wait for just a minute. Anybody want to come pray?